Greeting to each one in His name. Whenever it is my lot to speak about Christ, I cannot help but feel very shallow. I must admit I feel very shallow tonight. How can mortal man speak of such eternal glories? I don't know. Yet we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and I just trust by God's grace we'll be able to look into His Word, and He will give sense unto His Word tonight, and He will give illumination by His Spirit unto His Word tonight, and we may be able to behold His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In John chapter 1 we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, it shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, through the light, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He," that's Jesus, "was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." What a glorious revelation of our Lord Jesus as we begin to meditate upon him this evening. That in the beginning, he was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible goes on to say there that He is the light, that He was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we have these words, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Yes, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I don't understand all of that. I can't fathom what it all means. But the Bible says, as many as received him, as many as opened up their hearts and let the light shine, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as many as opened their hearts and let that light shine upon their hearts, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, not in the age to come, but in this age that we live in. For did not John say, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But even in this day that we live in, we are the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, in that he has called us the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Oh, what a blessing this is for God. That same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And we can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see there again how he did do that very thing, and simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the darkness fled away in the presence of light. The same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath now shined in our hearts. Your heart, my heart, How can this be? How can this mystery be? How can mortal man understand such a mystery that this same God who commanded in the creation, the beginning of the creation of this world, that He commanded the light to shine and it shined out into the darkness, that this same God would then shine in our hearts? I don't understand that. I can't fathom what it all means. But it is so. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, Moses, during a time of intercession, if you'll turn there to Exodus 34 with me. Moses, during a time of intercession, which as I studied through the book of Exodus, you see several times where Moses interceded. I marvel at Moses and his life of intercession. I marvel at the way that he was able to intercede for the children of Israel. I marvel at what kind of intercession it took to stay the hand of God from destroying the children of Israel. It wasn't a little prayer that Moses prayed. It wasn't an all-night prayer meeting that stayed the hand of God from judging Israel, but it was a Moses who was willing to go up into the mount and be alone with God for 40 days and 40 nights pleading and interceding for Israel before the face of God. It took that kind of an intercessor to stay the hand of God's judgment and God's wrath upon Israel. But Moses, in one of those times of intercession, he made this cry out to God. He said, I beseech thee, Lord, show me thy glory. Oh God, show me thy glory. And we go on to read over in chapter 34 and verse 5 the account of where God did that very thing, where God told Moses, okay, Moses, I'll do that. You can't see my front part, for no man can live that sees my front part. But there, I've got a special place for you, a cleft in the rock where I'll put you, where you can stand, and I'll put my hand over you when I go by, and I'll pull my hand away so that you can see my hinder parts, and you can see what some of my glory is all about. Can you imagine how Moses must have felt when he made that trek up into that mountain that time, knowing that he already had a word from God, that God would show him His glory? And there stood Moses on top of the mountain, and we'll read in verse 5 here. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, and this is what he proclaimed. Brothers and sisters, that word proclaimed there doesn't just mean that God said these words when he went by Moses. God revealed his name to Moses. God revealed his glory to Moses, and this is what he revealed, and this is what he proclaimed. And this is what he declared, and this is what he manifested, and this is what Moses saw when God let him see his hinder part. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward earth, and he worshipped. Moses cried out to God and said, O God, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And when God revealed His glory to Moses, He revealed it this way. He gave Moses a revelation that He is God, that He is the Lord God, that He is the only God, that He is the God of heaven, that He is the God of the universe. But not only that, but He's God who's merciful. And God revealed to Moses that He was God who's gracious. And He's God who's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He revealed to Moses that He's God who keeps mercy for thousands And he's God who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. But he's also God who will by no means let the guilty go free, but they must come and repent in order to be freed. But he's God who will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation, if there is no clearing. He was God, and he revealed himself that way to Moses as God. A beautiful revelation of the glory of God, and I believe it changed Moses' life. When I think a revelation of God's glory, the subject at hand comes to my mind. And I'm not sure if we ever pondered it that way or not, but I don't think there is ever been a greater revelation of God's glory than the revelation of the cross of our Lord Jesus. Has there ever been a greater revelation? If you ever want to see what God is like, if you ever want to see into the depths of who God is and what He is, you just meditate upon the cross event of our Lord Jesus Christ. You just put your heart and your mind and your attention and your meditation upon what Jesus did on the cross, and you'll get a revelation of the glory of God like you've never seen before. Men's lives have been transformed by one glimpse of Calvary. I don't mean with these eyes, but I mean with these eyes. Men who struggled in despair and torment were completely changed by one glimpse into that eternal revelation of the glory of God in the cross event of our Lord Jesus Christ. Changed completely, never to be the same again. And oh, my heart's cry to God tonight is that He'd give us such a revelation as this, that we would never be the same after tonight, that our lives, that our very being, that our very spirits would be permeated with the glory of God, with the revelation of His glory in the cross event of our Lord Jesus Christ. What greater manifestation of the glory of God could there be than this? Oh, listen, Moses didn't see what we see, brothers and sisters, tonight. Oh, Moses trembled, and he went to the mount, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights there. But Moses did not see what we see tonight. And I wonder, do we hold it that way? Is it tender to us? Is it precious to us? Or is it just something flippant, something that we just do in a light way? I'm afraid too many times we hold this glorious revelation of our Lord Jesus, and we hold it in our hands lightly, and we flip it around like it's just another thing you read in a book somewhere, not realizing that it's stamped in the eternity past, and it's stamped in eternity as the greatest revelation of God's glory that man will ever see. The Christ event. I trust none of us will be guilty of this tonight, of counting lightly the death of our Lord Jesus. If you turn with me now to Isaiah 52, there are many places in the Bible where we can read about our Lord Jesus. I've chosen this evening to read out of Isaiah. And if you would, please, after you have your place there at Isaiah 52 and 3, just turn over to Philippians 2 and put your finger there, so we can turn there very quickly. There's two glimpses of Calvary here on these pages that are before us. First, one glimpse is in Isaiah chapter 52. And then there's another glimpse in Isaiah chapter 53. In 52, I believe it's a short overview of the whole of the Christ event. And then in Isaiah chapter 53... it's the same view again, broken down into small details. Let us read first in Isaiah 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. My servant, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. I believe this is speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the servant that is spoken of in Isaiah. And it says here that he shall deal prudently, or wisely, or prosperously. Let us turn and read in Philippians chapter 2, as we see how wisely and prudently his servant did deal. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look how wisely he dealt. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here we see the New Testament of account of how God's servant dealt prudently, how he dealt wisely, how he behaved himself rightly, in that he was God and found it not robbery to be equal with God, but found himself in the form of a servant. And as he saw himself in the form of a servant, he yielded himself to that and was made in the likeness of man and walked upon this earth and dealt very wisely while he was here. And in the end yielded himself to death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9 in Philippians, because of this, because his servant did deal wisely and prudently, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yet, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. And all that simply means is he shall be made high and higher and highest. And this is exactly what God the Father did with his wise servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is how highly the Father exalted him, because he dealt prudently, because he found himself in fashion as a man, and found himself in the form of a servant, and yielded himself to that which was the plan of his Father, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is how he dealt prudently. Verse 14 is just a little glimpse of Isaiah chapter 53. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now this scripture simply says that Jesus' face, his visage, was so marred more than any man. I don't know if we can imagine what that means here tonight or not. My mind goes to a story that the missionary told us of one old saint of God over there in Africa. When the warriors came in and took over the camp, they found an old saint of God, 80 years old, who would not deny the faith. And they took that old 80-year-old man, those mean warriors did, those God-hating men, and they took a sledgehammer, and they started to smash that man, and they smashed him, the missionary says, until his body became like jelly. But the Bible says here that his visage was marred more than any man. I wonder if we have any idea what that means. And his body, and his form more than the sons of men. You couldn't make it out. He didn't look normal anymore. His body was beaten. His body was bruised. His body was shredded. The meat was hanging off of his body, and it didn't look like normal anymore. His face did not look like a man anymore. His body didn't look like a man anymore. Just a little glimpse into the cross event. Ah, but it says in verse 14, as many were astonished at thee. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Oh, now we see the other side of the cross here. In this little bitty glimpse into the Christ event, and the last verse here, we see the other side of the cross. Many nations sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and truly it has come to pass, even as Isaiah said, nations have been sprinkled with the blood of our Lord Jesus, and kings have had their mouths stopped at the presentation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And kings sat in silence and had nothing to say. Men who were in authority and in power and commanded others, and others fled at their word. Their mouths were stopped at the sound of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it happened over and over again. I think of the illustrations in the book of Acts where Paul had opportunity to stop the mouths of kings with the glorious gospel. And as we hear the stories of missionaries, it seems they find their way into the places where the authorities are. And over and over and over again, the authorities' mouths are stopped at the presentation of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, many nations have been sprinkled by His blood. And out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, He has called unto Himself a people. A people. Looking on then to Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And it's given in a question here. Who can believe this report? Oh, the Jews did not believe the report, did they? It didn't make sense to them. It didn't line up to them. Their proud hearts couldn't believe the report. Their proud attitudes could not receive the report. Their high and mighty ideas about themselves and about God and about their king, their kingdom and their king, they could not believe the report. And the cry comes out here, who has believed our report? Who can believe such a report as what we're about to read? I'll tell you who. The humble, the broken, the contrite, the sinner who sees his need, the one who's needy and has no way out, the one who has problems and doesn't know how the problems will be answered. He can believe the report. Yes, he'll believe the report, but the proud don't believe the report. Even unto this very day, the proud don't believe the report. But here in the context that we're studying here this evening, we're looking at Israel, and Israel did not believe the report. Oh, if he would have come as a glorious king, if he had come as a strong and mighty man, standing head and shoulders above the rest, if he had come in mighty power, if he had come with eloquence of person and all these things, they would have believed the report. It would have lined up to their proud, pharisaical hearts. But they could not believe the report. It didn't make sense. It didn't line up to their proud hearts. No, tonight, brothers and sisters, we may hear the report tonight. But only are we able to receive the report tonight. The way that God wants us to receive it is if our hearts are broken and contrite before God. A pliable heart will believe the report again tonight. A pliable and a broken heart will receive the report again tonight. A pliable and a broken heart will be changed by the report of our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But the proud heart will only hear it tonight. It'll only go through and back out again. Oh, let us be humble tonight. Let us be broken tonight. Let us be contrite tonight that we may believe the report. Who will believe the report? And it goes on to say, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And that word there means the power of God. And to whom is the power of God revealed? Again, it takes the same kind of a heart. A proud heart cannot see that this manifestation that we're going to read here could be anything that is good and right. The proud heart can't see that. How can this be a manifestation of God making bare His arm? Listen, God made bare His arm on the cross of our Lord Jesus like He did in no other way. Listen, though God parted the Red Sea for Israel, and though God parted the Jordan River for Israel, and though God made the walls of Jericho fall down, and each time He made bare His mighty arm, but in this Christ event, in this suffering on the cross, God made bare His arm. He showed His power in a way that the world has never seen yet again. But who will believe this report? And to whom will this mighty, powerful revelation be revealed but to the humble, to the contrite ones? They're the ones that will understand that the power of the Lord was manifested in the Christ event. Colossians says it's the greatest manifestation of God's power that ever was. But it makes no sense to the proud in heart. Oh, we could talk tonight about the power of God to heal, and we could talk about the power of God to change lives, and truly those are manifestations of His miracle-working power. We could talk about the power of God that holds all things together by the word of His power. And oh, how glorious and how wonderful that is. We could talk tonight about the power of God in creation and how He spoke and the world came into existence. But none of those compare to the manifestation of His mighty power in the revelation of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. None of those compare. I was overwhelmed the other evening. Overwhelmed. When the missionary told the story about the God of the universe. You know, the God of the universe who can step across the Milky Way billions of miles just like that. What an awesome revelation that is. That God who can do that came down to the earth and died on the cross for us. The Creator became the Savior. And it's the greatest manifestation of His power that the world has ever known. All the heavens are not a stage big enough for God's performance. Yet He stepped down from glory and submitted Himself to all the suffering that we'll be meditating upon tonight. What amazing grace. What manifold love. What depth of understanding of the love of God can there be that the Creator would step down out of eternity and step down out of the universe and step down out of the world that we cannot see and become our Savior. He was in the world and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But He was in the beginning. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.